according to the cloud. And thank you all for being here for this UUMA Ministerial Formation Network conversation with our beloved colleagues serving on the MFC. And now that I've got Amanda there, I'm going to pin Allison, and welcome, welcome colleagues. And thank you so much for being here for this conversation today. Take us away.
All right. Well, I just want to start by introducing ourselves a little bit. And just to say, it's so good to be with you all. This is Michelle, I think both with you and before, maybe I've done a few of these now, and I'm super excited to be with you all. I really enjoy the conversations. I hope that we'll have answers for you. And often actually your questions help us to become a better MFC. So I appreciate that as well. I'm Reverend Amanda Poppy. It is my 15th anniversary of my ordination. Yeah. And so I was just strolling down memory lane for sure earlier today. My pronouns are she, her. I serve as senior minister at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Arlington, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. And I have been on the MFC for coming up on 4 years now. And I have been co-chair for almost a year. So I also serve on our process working group. The MFC has three working groups, and the process working group is the one charged with working on the policies and rule changes, the way the MFC does its work when we want to change something that comes through the process working group. And we also are in charge of our training, our own training. So we have required training that we do to make sure that we are becoming the best MFC that we can be. That is an eternal evolution and process. And I want to ask my colleague, Allison, will you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Allison Aguilar Lopez Gutierrez McLeod, and I'm coming to you from San Diego, the home of the Kumeyaay Nation. And my pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm so excited to be here. Let's see, I've been on the MFC now this for 2 years, relatively new-ish, and I was just nominated and part of the executive team. So that's been exciting. And I have been a religious educator for almost 20 years. Oh, talk about anniversaries, Amanda. Woo! Okay. Yeah. And I serve on the Preliminary Fellowship Committee, and we are in the process of really reworking a lot of things. And we've got really exciting news on that front point, and, you know, making things easier after you come through and for the next and renewals and things like that. So that's my role. Thank you for having me.
The MFC is real people, y'all. That's what I have to say. We're just real people. Allison has actually been very involved and working with stakeholders for quite some time on some changes to our preliminary fellowship renewal process, which are really exciting, I think going to be awesome, especially for community ministers going through, also with a perspective toward ministers with disabilities who are coming through preliminary fellowships. So just really great changes. However, that's like a little ways out for all of you. So if we have questions about that, Allison will be a great resource. Michelle, often when I have done these, I have given just a little bit of an overview of who the MFC is and what we do. Is that a helpful way to start?
I think that would be a wonderful way to start. We've got among the folks that have gathered here, we've got folks very early in their process, right, folks that have visited with the MFC in the past, and everywhere in between. So okay. I think a little bit of the lay of the land, and I think maybe a good launching place after the basic lay of the land might be some conversation. Because there are so many changes, there's sometimes rumors or things that are not fully accurate, and just helping to reinforce some of the best ways to get clear information, because we've had a recurring conversation in the MFN this fall in particular, where sometimes our mentors and supervisors aren't aware of things like, our interviews happen on Zoom. and just helping to, you know, resource where resources and facts can be found.
Yep. Yep. That's awesome. Also true. That's great, Michelle. I will do my best to get us going. And I think that's actually a great lead in, because sometimes I like to say, you know, this is not your grandmother's MFC, but actually a better version would be, this is probably not your mentor's MFC. And we do sometimes find that beloved and deeply well-intentioned mentors and supervisors who went through the MFC, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago, have a different understanding of the process. So that's a great point, Michelle. And I always direct folks for the most up-to-date information. Make sure you are signed up for the newsletter from the Ministerial Credentialing Office. And during our question time, I'll try to see if I can find that link, or Michelle, I'm sure that you share that with people all the time, because new information always is rolled out through that newsletter. And make sure that you're in relationship. Yep, absolutely. Make sure that you're in relationship with and really kind of look to the Ministerial Credentialing Office for the most up-to-date information. So because the MFC has gone through a lot of changes in the last, even 4 years that I have been part of it, it seems like every time we are rolling out something new and really trying to do that in service of our transformation to better serve a wide variety of ministries, a wide variety of ministers to repair. I'm so sorry. I am still just dealing with a cold. So you're just glad you're on Zoom, to repair some of the damage that the MFC has done over the years, and long ago and not so long ago, and to seek to not only minimize any harm that we cause now, obviously, like all people, we are not infallible, but also to really encourage the flourishing and the vitality and the ongoing development of our candidates and those that we hold in our care. So here's the MFC writ large, especially for those of you pretty new to the process. The Ministerial Fellowship Committee is made up of a variety of ministers and religious educators and music professionals and psychologists and lay leaders, so, who have no formal religious professional role, but are, you know, just lay leaders, also known as often the backbone of our congregations. And they come on the MFC elected either by the UUA Board of Trustees or by the UU Ministers Association. Obviously, all of those folks are ministers, and then the board brings on people who hold a variety of different roles. We're 15 people, and we hold ministers in care from the time really of their aspirant status, so when you begin the journey toward ministry and through as you become a candidate, the big moment with the MFC that people think about most is the moment of the interview. But we also hold in care folks during their preliminary fellowship development. And then we hold folks in care and in accountability if there's any complaint that's brought before them in the course of their time in ministry. That's also a part of our work. That is the definitely less fun part of our work. The part that you all are likely most concerned with is that time leading up to and including, you know, the interview. And so I want to talk just a little bit about the format of that interview and how it has changed in the last few years. As Michelle noted, it is on Zoom now, and that obviously came to be with just a few weeks' notice when we first had lockdown, and then we've kept it that way for a variety of reasons. Cost and accessibility are high among them. We meet 3 times a year in September, end of September, at the beginning of December, and then end of March, beginning of April-ish. So there's kind of a fall, early winter, and then a spring meeting. And that's when we see candidates. We also have a retreat that's in person in May, and that's for our own training, relationship building, our internal work as the MFC. The interviews last roughly 60 to 75 minutes as an interview. And then there is however long is needed for deliberation afterward. And then the person rejoins us to hear the results of that deliberation. And we've really worked to change the format and the kinds of questions of that interview from even when I went through the MFC. So that was, you know, what, 16 years ago, where there were a lot of, I mean, I had like flashcards, right, to memorize dates and know the history and all of that. And a lot of questions about name three, such and such. On occasion, we ask questions like that, but the bulk of our questions are really about your development, about how you understand ministry and yourself in ministry. We are going to be looking to your packet, that lovely 150-page document, which I promise we have all read, to show us some of the basics of competence. So we're hoping that we've seen all of that in the packet. And if we don't have specific concerns in those areas, then we're really going to be able to focus on your development in ministry, your healthy boundaries, your ARAOMC work for sure, your kind of emotional maturity in ministry, your understanding of systems and of theology, right? Like these big pieces, not so much, you know, tell me what happened in 18, whatever, something happened sometime in 18 something, but you know, you can check that online and is less interesting to us than are you ready in a whole and boundaried way for ministry? And Amanda, even if I can, oh yeah, please, Allison, jump in.
Sure, no, get some water. I feel like I should be making you tea. There are no gotcha questions. I am really open and very honest with all of the, we as MFC people, we are hosts. So I am a host to one panelist who coming through, and we all meet with our hosts probably, you know, half an hour to an hour, as much or as many times as the person that we're hosting wants us to meet, actually. And I go through step by step of the interview. This is what you need to expect. Here are the people on your panel. You know, here are the questions that you're going to get. And it's Amanda said earlier, and I'd really like to reinforce this, to echo this, is that it's about your formation. We pour over those packets of information. So the more you give us and the more information that we have on you, the better, because we just want to know who you are as ministers. And we will be asking questions to get to know you better in those 7 to 8 competencies. Yeah, that's where it's loosely framed. And also, we've been trying this for the last couple of meetings that we've been coming up with, is we give out some of the questions ahead of time, 24 hours ahead of time. You will either get some of the questions and then like, here's where we'll be concentrating on in terms of a question in this area. Think about this and think about that. We've tried giving out all the questions ahead of time and people come in a little too rehearsed and it's like, well, you know, that's lovely, but we were really interested in this. And then we just don't want people to feel taken off on the wrong foot, right? You know, just, we really just want you authentically, no note cards. I was like, just take those and throw those out the window because those really have no place here. I hope what you will find in the interview is an interview that is warm and welcoming. There is after you preach, there is now we actually do a little pause and we say, okay, now we switch over to time for questions. Do you need to take a minute? You know, like, because we understand very, you know, clearly, as all of us, most of us have been in the pulpit, is that it's very hard to switch from pulpit, you know, to immediately go into question and answers. And then halfway through, we have a 5-minute break, which is great. And it didn't used to be like that. It used to be just like, here, let's do a 1-minute break. So all we have to do is just breathe. And then I was like, is this really serving us? this isn't serving us. So we've been really working tremendously hard to look at the actual interview itself, as well as all of the surrounding committees and structures, and say, okay, how can this help our interviewees and our new ministers better?
So I think that actually sort of covers the, Allison told you about the host function, which is your like person on the MFC that's going to meet ahead of time, help you to navigate it a little bit. That used to be called the first questioner. I think even in the language change, you can hear a little bit about how we're trying to hold this space differently. The last piece I would say around interviews is the categories that people receive at the end of the interview, because that's also been a change in the last 5 years. Your mentors and supervisors may well have gone through an MFC that had number categories, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We now have just 3 categories. We have affirmed in fellowship, which means that we believe your next developmental work in ministry can be done while you are in fellowship. You'll note that that doesn't mean we think you're done developing as a minister, like check mark, but that the work that you have to do, and we are likely to tell you what we believe that work, you know, the areas we believe that work may be in, we'll also ask you what you think. And so it's always great when it lines up, but that work can be done while you're in fellowship. We have continued in candidacy, which is a really wide category that can range from you have to finish your MDiv, you have one more class, just send us the paperwork when it's done and you are now affirmed in fellowship, to we think that there's another class we'd like you to take, or we'd like you to do some coaching for 3 months or 6 months, all the way to we would like to see you again and have you return for another visit so that we can ourselves have a conversation with you about some of the development that we think needs to happen between now and then. So this is work that we think you need to remain in candidacy and not yet move into fellowship to complete this work. And that, again, that work might be a wide range. And then to discontinued in candidacy, which means that at this point, we don't see that your development right now is moving you toward a fellowshiped ministry. It happens that people are discontinued in candidacy, and then there is an opportunity after usually a pause of a year or so or more to petition to come back in. And people do that and they move on to successful ministries. I have seen it happen. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that the interview can go, but all of them hopefully are about how both we and you experience your next developmental needs in ministry. I want to shift to some of the questions. And Michelle, I know that there will be questions about the reading list and the competencies, because that's one of our most recent changes. I also will just respond to Martha, your question. At this point, there is no plan to return to in-person MFC interviews that's been, you know, formally put together or approved or anything like that. It is possible that there will be a return. It is like everything. I think there are things gained and things lost. And you all know that from your work in ministry and your life. But at this point, we have no plans to move off of Zoom for now. So I wonder, Michelle, if I could ask folks to put questions into the chat, just as they've been doing, but just kind of like formally ask for that. And then Allison, I'm thinking I'll take point on the competencies because I just redid that with Cindy. And then maybe we can flip-flop on questions or something. Does that sound good? Okay, great. So in the many changes coming to the MFC, one of the most recent ones is a revised reading list. And really, I would actually describe it as a reimagined reading list. So we set out to update it and commissioned a team to look at that with us, folks from Star King and Meadville and Harvard. And that team came back to us and said, rather than update it, we actually would like to suggest that we create a little bit more of a choose your own adventure approach to what we have been calling the reading list. So we are now inviting people to share with us, not to check off the boxes the way it currently is on the packet. And this, I should say, it's not quite ready for prime time. It's going to be rolled out probably at the beginning of the next year. So beginning of 2024. But what you will see at that point is rather than checking off, yes, I've read all of these things on the list, we are asking you to tell us, how have you engaged in preparation for this competency? There will be two sample lists of educational materials. And I use that phrase because it's not only books to read, but also films you might watch, conferences, different ways to engage in learning. And you could just use one sample list in its entirety. That's fine. Or you could check those out and then see what your classes have you engage with in their syllabi and create your own list of how you've prepared for each one of those competencies. So it's quite a shift from these are the requirements, tell us that you did them, to the requirement is that you are prepared for, let's say, the pastoral care competency. And here's what it means to us to be prepared in this competency. Here's some language describing what that would mean. Here are some required courses or course material. We've still got that. And then outside of that or within those courses, tell us what you did to prepare. Tell us how you prepared to be ready for this competency. So that's a pretty big shift. Along with that shift is the addition of an eighth competency in theology. So theology was embedded into a number of the other competencies. And as we worked on this revised approach, we really felt as though it needed to be pulled out and be its own competency. And to make sure that candidates knew to be preparing for it, right? Not that it's a side note in what worship means, but that theology is core to preparing for ministry. And so that's pulled out as an eighth competency. Same as all the others, there are a couple of required, you know, kind of course material for it. And then we invite you to tell us how you prepared for it. So that is the change. Our hope is that in addition to allowing people who are preparing for different ministries and who come from different life journeys, identities, social locations, places to prepare for ministry in ways that fit for them, our hope is that it also opens up a little bit preparation from a disability justice lens, which has been a real focus of some of our own training in the last couple of years, that not everybody learns in the same way or has access to the same kinds of materials or to be able to interact with the same kinds of materials. So we want to hear how you have prepared. The standards are the same, right? Like what it is to be prepared in those competencies is the same. We're just opening up how you can tell us that you've prepared for them. Okay, great. And so one of the questions was about is there a library where the reading list materials can be checked out? So the short sort of, I don't know, cheeky answer to that is, well, now there's no specific materials to check out. Maybe the longer answer is that the Ministerial Credentialing Office has actually in the past been able to help folks if there are materials that you can't access. Most seminaries will have many of these materials available in a library, of course, not all. And there are some things that are out of print and hard to get or expensive to get. And the Ministerial Credentialing Office has had some ability to help people with that. Allison, do you want to take a look on the chat and see if there's a question there that you want to answer?
Oh, sure. The question is, if you started underneath the old system, that you can stay with that, or do you need to switch over? No, you can stay absolutely with the system that you are the most comfortable with. If you're like, okay, I committed to this. This is where I'm going. can't stop me now. Like, that's great. And also, this is important for us to not be so, I'll say it, white supremacist in our competencies and saying, here, this is what you need. This is what the authority is, when, you know, there are many authorities, and that's so important to us. And that's what we're really doing as an MFC. We're doing some really good work there. And so when will the changes start applying? Yeah. In April of this, not so much the people who are probably we're going to see in April are probably sort of committed to the older system, which is fine. you know, go with what you know by that point. And that's fine. But we expect there to be a point in period in all of this where we will be juggling some new system, you know, the new competencies, and also some old, you know, some older ones. So we are practicing being flexible as well. Do you want to answer the next one from
me? Yeah, sure. Yeah, the cutoff when you have to use the new is if you start the process as an aspirant after the new has been rolled out. So I don't think that's any of you, because you would not be here. You have a choice which one works best for you. If someone were to be continued in candidacy and then asked to return for another interview, are they likely to sit with the same group of folks? This is such a great question. Or more likely a new group or a mix? A mix. We always, and I just shout out to Marion Bell, who really makes all of the systems work unbelievably. Marion works very hard to create these panels. So if there's 15 of us, we divide into two or three panels to see candidates. And as you can imagine, in a small movement, we sometimes know candidates and we'll have to recuse ourselves from those candidates if we know them well, right? You know, I can't be on my own interns panel, for instance. Obviously, I think all my interns are awesome. And, you know, so she mixes them up. Return candidates always have at least one and ideally maybe two or even three folks who saw them the first time and who are able then to personally note the developmental difference between the first interview and the return interview. They also approach the packet differently. So there's an opportunity for return candidates to add to the packet or to change some of the packet. We see the original packet, then we also see some new material that they've created for their return specifically. And that new material can respond to many things. It essentially must respond to the developmental needs that we ask them to work on in between interviews. So a couple of ways for us to be able to note the difference developmentally.
We also carry through that sort of the idea of care and caring throughout this entire process, not just the interview itself, but also afterwards when you're in preliminary. Marion tries very hard to get at least two people, maybe your host person. I think ideally it would be one of your host people and another person on who did your interview panel would be the ones reading your renewals. And we would be reading those together with you for the next, you know, couple of years, just so we know you, so we can say, okay, oh yeah, you know, yeah, the one had that toddler running in the background screaming, and I was like, that was hilarious, and also that was totally sucky for them, but we all understand because we've been there, you know. And so I just wanted to say that there's a concerted effort on the part of this amazing support staff who really, I mean, do most of the work to really have that thread of continual care and really knowing pulled through. Can you please explain what the packets are? Yes, Amanda can probably do a much better job. I'll take a stab at it. That's a very violent metaphor. I'm going to take a try at that. And the packet is the basically dissertation-esque thing that you put together. It's usually some people, it is your CPE and it is your evaluation from there. It is all your competencies and the reading list and all the questions. And it is people from your supervisor, from your intern congregation, right? And I don't know where it is on the UUA website.
I'll work on getting that link. It's the appendix to the MFC rules. So I'll work on that, Allison. Keep going. You're doing great.
I don't know if I'm doing great, but it's the whole big rigmarole that you just gather all of the information, you know, that you do a personalized statement, you know, from the beginning, sort of introducing you to us. And those are written in your, you know, these are some of the transformative things that I have done to bring me here to this point, you know, and then it's sort of the CPE things. And then after that's, you know, here are the competencies and, oh, I took these classes and then I read these things. I went to this conference. And then there's like a 400 word thing at the end of each competency to say, here's what I'm doing
with this competency area. And so all of this actually amasses into probably, Amanda said earlier, it's like 150. I've seen packets of 300.
Please don't send us a packet of 300 pages.
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll read it, but we'll be sad.
Sometimes it's unavoidable. People that take, you know, a CPE unit really early in their preparation and maybe take like a long time to prepare to see us. So then they give us their evaluations from another CPE unit they took. So it is sometimes it's very, very long, but there's word counts and everything. So you got it. Yes, Michelle. So exactly that. So this is where the changes are going to show up. We've given you some links to those requirements. If you have not started prepping your packet yet, you may want to wait until the new forms are out so that you can decide whether you want to go with the old or you would rather just at this point move over into the new. It will be your choice because we legacy people through. That's no problem. But you may just prefer to go to the new format. So, you know, this is not like right today is not the moment to start work on the old format. Just hold like 3 months. I wanted to just note, Sonia, your question about the MDiv equivalency waiver. The best thing for you to do is to talk with the ministerial credentialing director individually to set up an appointment. Now, trick is there's not currently a ministerial credentialing director. Good news, there's going to be one soon. I think in the next month, by the new year, right, by January 1st, there will be someone in that office. And for something that specific, talk with them. You will, as a starting place, you will need to submit a waiver form requesting a waiver of the MDiv and detailing what you're going to do to make it up, right? To say, I'm requesting a waiver of the MDiv. Here are the classes I'm planning to take. Here's the classes I'm planning to audit. Here are the, you know, here's the life experience I've had. Here's the degree I do have, right? And the candidacy working group will look at that waiver and they will either accept it and say, this plan looks fine for us. Doesn't mean that you might not get questions when you go before the MFC. They may want to learn more, but they'll know that the candidacy working group approved it, or they may say, we can't approve this waiver, but please revise your plan in this way and come back to us. And you might then get it approved, right? So, and it's possible that they would say, no, sorry, the gap is too big, right? I can't speak for that group, but that's the process you would follow. But do start with a conversation with the ministerial credentialing director when they emerge into being. And they'll be able to get you kind of sorted for that waiver process.
I did submit a waiver. And then after I did that, I heard that auditing was a possibility. So I was like, oh, if that's a possibility, then maybe I want to change things a little bit in that waiver.
Did you get the waiver approved?
No, it's for this coming.
Oh, it's like pending. So check in with Marion Bell maybe and see if you can amend your waiver request to be audited instead of to take the classes. Honestly, Sonia, because I'm not on CWG and you've not served on CWG either, right, Allison? I actually don't know like what the, you know, like which way the wind usually blows on that in the group. So I would just be randomly guessing whether they would be okay with an audit or not. Probably depends.
Okay. Thank you.
Allison, do you see that question from Martha? Do you want to take that one or do you want me to?
Yeah, go ahead.
So this is about the change that requires, it used to be that you could either have a CPE final eval or a internship final eval. And at that point you could make an appointment with the MFC. And what we have changed it to is that you need that CPE final eval, and you need to at least have a midpoint eval from your internship. So that's halfway through a full-time year or 1 year into, I mean, halfway through two part-time years, right? So 6 months in, whatever, 5 months in or 1 year in. And, you know, I mean, I think you're right, Martha, that Of course, there are candidates for whom that could significantly impact, kind of depending on how you have set up your own timing structure. And we see always, you know, candidates do CPE. Some candidates do CPE before they go to seminary because that's how they're testing out whether they like ministry or not. Some candidates do it, kind of get a waiver and do it toward the end of seminary. I will say this. The reason we made the change is that we had candidates coming to us really before they were ready. And I don't know, not to be overly dramatic, but what will impact your timeline more is coming to the MFC before you are ready and being told that you need to come back and see us again. And you can't for another, you have to wait a year to do that so that you can do the developmental work. We really felt that we were getting candidates. And I think that the pandemic led to some of this because people got really delayed and stretched out and couldn't do some of that. And then they like squished it, you know, to try to get back on track, but they really hadn't had the time needed for their own developmental work. So we were seeing an uptick in candidates who were not ready for their developmentally for their MFC interviews. And our judgment call was that this rule change would help people to
delay a little further. Yeah, be more prepared. Yeah,
be more prepared when they came to us and then be able to move forward with more success.
Yeah. It really was, you know, I've sat on a number of these panels and sometimes it was a matter of saying, gosh, I wish they had waited like, you know, 4 months or 6 months, you know, and then, you know, the list of, you know, things that we would like to see wouldn't have been so long, you know, and so yes, please, you know, be true to your own timeline. If this is, you know, really important to you to get it done, you know, only you know your readiness, but we saw a number of candidates that got news that wasn't what they wanted to hear. That would have been differently presented to them had they waited to come. And so we just hate disappointing. I mean, we stress out. We hate giving really disappointing news, you know. And so I'll just say that. It was so that's what I'll end up with. More questions about this. No, yeah, they're not required to be sent in. No, like if you finished, you know, your internship, you know, yes.
Yeah, if you have your final, we don't need your midpoint. If you don't have your final, then we need your midpoint. Does that make sense?
And that's just for the MFC, right? But we don't necessarily have to send in the midpoint.
No.
Just the final. But if you want it sooner to get the appointment, you have to send in the midpoint if you want that.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
That's okay. Correct. The office needs to receive it to know that you're ready to make the appointment. I think that's right. I always note Allison and I are sort of experts on what happens once you get an appointment. So we see a lot of packets and we do a lot of candidate interviews, but we are not experts on what it takes to get to the appointment. And so I always direct people to Ministerial Credentialing Office if you have questions like that. Marion Bell is great. Ministerial Credentialing Director that will soon emerge will be great. And they can help with those pieces. But it doesn't go in. If we have a final in the packet, there's not a midpoint in the packet.
A lot of the questions that are coming up are both specific and in process. Last week we had a conversation and Michael Tino was with us and shared some of the realities about how these timelines are shifting and expanding. And that one of the particularly challenging tasks, and I think it has connections for the UUMA, is that as we're moving into our ministries, we're responsible for keeping up on these rules and things. Being aware of what these documents say is it's a burden and it can be a pain in the butt sometimes, but knowing where they are and having the references and certainly participating in programs like the MFN offers is a way that you can help to stay more grounded and connected. So next week we'll be able to, next week or soon thereafter, we'll have access to this recording and the one about internships and CPEs that was last week for a little more information sharing and continuing to point to the direct sources for the resources. And I think that goes to that when things are going to be updated. the MFN and the Ministerial Credentialing Office will provide those links in our regular mailings. MFN Formation Network typically does the first of the month, and the Credentialing Office does the 15th of the month, but then there are all the other months where that's not exactly accurate. But you can expect mailings from our two entities at least once a month.
Yeah. And we expect, just to clarify for Patricia, we expect that the new competencies and reading list will be rolled out after the first of the year, hopefully close to the first of the year. They're roughly done, but we want to make sure that they're ready for prime time. So, and better to do it with a ministerial credentialing director actually in the position. Allison, do you want to speak to Lisa's question about people putting in supplemental materials and packets?
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's fine. You know, if you're, especially if you're doing a 2-year, you know, instead of a 1-year, you know, go ahead. And as long as you have something, right, you know, as long as there's something from your supervisor and maybe your the team, why am I blanking, the comm, the committee on ministry, it's like, what,
your internship committee?
Yes, your internship committee, thank you. I was like, not the comm, that one before. Yes, as long as you have things, supplemental materials, like from them, like I said, and I will repeat myself again and again at nauseam, and you can just tell me to be quiet, but the more that we can get a fuller picture of you, the more that we get to know you, where we can say, you know what, this is great. And also, maybe have you thought about this? Or, you know, we've see, you know, it, that's really what we're here for, is to say, okay, this is great. And have you thought about this? And have you thought about maybe this? You talked about folks being ready. That's a really ready to come before the MFC. It's hard. I think that this sounds so cheesy, but you will know when you are ready. You have wonderful colleagues. I've been so impressed. This is a side note, and it's coming from my heart. I have had a couple of different very tough ministries positions personally. And I will tell you that when we do these interviews and the candidates, you come before us, I get really choked up. I get so emotional because I get so excited, and I'm just like, it's so beautiful to have you come forward. And I'm like, yes, yes, you are our faith. You know, you are, you know, the carry, you know, it is just so beautiful. So, and not to answer in so wishy-washy terms, but you will know, you've got wonderful colleagues who can give you great feedback. I encourage you not to get feedback in an echo chamber. You know, if you're, you know, if people are saying, hey, this is great, and you're like, you're biased and I love hearing it, but, you know, maybe I should get somebody else's viewpoint on it. That's, you know, that's at most what I can really say in a helpful way to be reflective back to you and say, what you're really looking for are those critical thinkers. And, you know, you're like, that one hurt, but yeah, okay, I can see where you're, you know, okay. I hope that answered that.
Your internship supervisor should be a good resource for you as well on that. Yeah, and definitely echo what Allison is saying about make sure that you're in relationship with a wide variety of people. Being part of the MFN is a great start. So I do think we'll have a new, I think that you mean Minister of Credentialing Director, and that will be, I believe, by the first of the year, if not earlier. That's my understanding, but I am not involved in that search, so I don't have more specific information. But there, it was posted a while ago, so assume it's moving along. I can take that, Allison, or do you want to, Brenna's question? Go ahead. I think I just, you know, we are looking for how you think about this competency area. That's different from, here's a list of things I've done in this competency area, because you probably already told us that above that line. We're interested in how you think about it, how you embody that competency area in your ministry, where you have to grow in that competency area. That's what I would say.
We do not expect that whole mythos, the false narrative of the minister having being prepared and having everything ready to go and being the authority on everything that there is on Unitarian Universalism, that's just a myth and it is unattainable. And again, it speaks to the white supremacy culture in us to have perfection. So we are not expecting perfection. In fact, if I saw it, I'd be like, oh, I don't trust it.
I'm like, well, I was gonna say the same thing, Allison.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I've been doing this for a long time and I still F up every day. So, okay. So, but that's what I'm saying is that we want you to think deeply and to reflect deeply, but really tell the anxiety and all of the anxiousness around this whole built up thing of the MFC and all of the prior people who were maybe members on the MFC who do not hold our values as Unitarian Universalist ministers, like now, especially after 2016, we've had this really big epiphany as a denomination and a new callings in, and it's just so different. I wasn't going to allow it to be abusive. We don't allow this process to be abusive in a way that maybe mentors might have found it a little bit more, you must do. And we're like, we must do type of things.
We always so quickly head towards the top of a new hour. And before we say our farewells, I just want to thank you both so much for being with us and opening a conversation that we know is ongoing. And when we gather again in the spring, there'll be more things to share and explore and new learnings that come from it. But the folks who serve on the MFC, gosh darn, you all do such important work of discernment. And you see, Allison, I so appreciate that faith in the future coming, being embodied in leaders. As a representative of the MFN, of the Formation Network, I want to just encourage and remind you that your collegial resources are many and varied. Having internship supervisors, having chapters that you can connect with and belong to, having a vocational advisor or a discernment group at some point in time, particularly for folks who are at non-UU theological schools, but certainly for everybody, the UU Wellspring program that has really helped to provide spiritual grounding and I would say some intellectual growth for folks about their UU identity, super vital ways of connecting with peers and colleagues who can call you in and call you out and help to support you in knowing when you're ready and giving that support, encouragement, and critical reflection in the times that it's not easy. So please get involved. I will highlight that as we head into December, we're planning a little bit of a MFN program that will focus on grief and the very specific grief that comes in formation when you lose your church in some way and the relationships you may have as a layperson and take on a new mantle as a religious leader. So we'll be focusing on that in our holiday celebration. And then in January, we'll have a program on ministry and money, and we'll be looking towards some introductions with the new credentialing director in the spring. And finally, there'll be more notice next week about the plans for an MFN in person and pods around the country gathering so folks can be in physical proximity to one another in alignment with the UU Preaching Conference in mid-April. So keep your peepers peeled for information going on about that opportunity to be together. So many of you have been primarily formed in theological school experiences in virtual spaces. And we know that there's something about ministry and being together and having those meals and chatting about the things that are important and silly and sacred is a vital part of how we do what we do for the long haul. Blessings, my friends and colleagues. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Amanda and Allison, for your time and your leadership in this vital work we do. And yeah, go MFN. Thank you all so much for being here this evening. See you soon.